talking for weeks now, this is part eight, about the importance of looking to and listening to Jesus, to the biblical scriptural Jesus, not just the cultural Jesus, but the Jesus that we find revealed to us in the Word of God. The reason to look to him, we've sung this morning that he's all we need, but the reason is because we want to be like Jesus, not just talk about Jesus, but we're to be becoming like him. So that, in fact, the book of Romans says that God has predestined us to be made conformable to the image of Christ. We are, as new creations in Christ, we are to be like Christ. We're to live as he's called us to live. And just because someone says a prayer every once in a while, or listens to praise and worship music, or just because someone claims to know Jesus and speak in his name, as we've said a few times, if they're not acting in and living in his nature, then we've got a problem. They can claim his name, but then they constantly sow division and demean and demonize others. I kind of pull back from that and go, yeah. Anyway, so we need to look to Jesus and to listen to him and then live and act and speak like him. I read something a teacher posted online the other day about a certain person, and he said, people need to stop calling this guy a pastor. Media needs to stop referring to his people as a church or whatever, because this is not Jesus, this is not the church, this is not the truth, this is not the gospel or whatever, and people just need to kind of call him out on that. And so anyway, the name and the nature of Jesus, that's what we want to see. So we need to look to Jesus and listen to him, live and act and speak like him. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We used to sing, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love." Live a life of love, it says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So we're to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and then live like Jesus and love like Jesus, to live a life of loving others and giving yourself to God, fully surrendered to him. This is how he calls us to live. So this is going to be just a real, this will not be my best sermon, all right, because this is just kind of a rambling, I don't know. But this is what I felt the Lord was saying to me to say. But so see if you can figure out how this all connects together. But we ask, okay, so I'm supposed to look and listen to Jesus. What would Jesus do? WWJD, if you've got your bracelet on today. What would Jesus do? I can suggest a few things. Start by just reading Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Take a look at that. It's the core of Jesus' ethical teaching. It's a manual on how to treat others. So he says, love your enemies, forgive those that wrong you and that take advantage of you. Be salt and light. Help slow down the decay of this world. Bring light into the darkness. Give to those in need. Don't rage against others. Don't call people names and dehumanize them. Pray. Don't worry. Those are just some of the ways that you know someone knows Jesus if they're living out what Jesus said to do in the Sermon on the Mount. People that know Jesus bear fruit, and Jesus said, and by their fruit you'll recognize him. And then he warned us, watch out for false prophets, ferocious wolves in sheep's clothing, because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And then he goes on to say in that passage, even miracle workers are excluded if they worked in his name, but not in his nature. Lord, didn't we cast out demons, and didn't we heal sick people? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. You went in his name, but not in his nature. And so, you know, we're looking at it like, well, that guy talks about Jesus a whole lot. You know, I believe he must know the Lord because he talks about Jesus all the time, and he sure points out who all the sinners are. Yeah, but does he live like Jesus? Right? Remember, if you're my age, remember we were so pumped, in high school, Norman Greenbaum sang Spirit in the Sky, and we all went, all right, we got a gospel song. He must love Jesus. When the Was it the Doobie Brothers that sang, "Jesus is just all right with me"? It's like, all right, everybody, listen, just because they're singing the song, just because some of those hip-hop artists stand backstage, you know, and hold hands and say, "Oh, God, help us, Jesus, we love you," and then they walk out there and do and say every immoral thing, I gotta tell you, if there's not his nature behind all that, just the name and just the stuff doesn't get it. I'm glad I got that off my chest, aren't you? So watch out. Watch out for politicians that'll talk about Jesus, but boy, they're doing some swell anyway. Okay, you get what I'm saying. Yeah, they talk about Jesus. Do they love like Jesus? Do they walk in holiness? Do they reflect the nature of Jesus we see in the Scripture? Do they do what Jesus would do? Do they treat others the way Jesus would treat others? Boy, if they don't, those are big red flags, right? What would Jesus do? What is Jesus like? Galatians 5, Paul tells us this is the fruit of the Spirit, and he mentions these nine things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says there's no law against any of that. Have as much of that as you want. I often call these the character qualities of Christ. And Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. If we belong to Jesus, we crucify the flesh, we die to sin and die to self, and we walk according to the Spirit. And what Paul's saying is, when you walk according to the Spirit is going to produce these qualities in your life. If you're really surrendered to Jesus, there ought to be evidence of it. And here's some of the evidence. Here's some of the character that ought to be seen to those who are followers of Jesus: love and joy and peace. And patience, oh boy, that's a tough one. And kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Jesus reflects those qualities. So should we look and listen and be imitators of Jesus. And also in Galatians 5, before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he says, here's the deal. The fruit of the sinful nature, the fruit of those who don't follow Jesus, that kind of fruit is evident too. And then he mentions things like this: sexual immorality, impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And he says, and those things are contrary to the nature of Jesus. They're contrary to the fruit of the Spirit and to life in the Spirit. And I thought about that and thought, you know what? That sounds like politics in America right there. And not only that, it sounds like much of the public discourse in our culture. And it sounds like about 3/4 of everything I read on social media, and about 90% of everything on every news source from both sides of the aisle around, right? And it sells products and it fires up people, but it sure doesn't sound like Jesus, and it doesn't reflect his nature. It doesn't draw people to Jesus. I read something this week that suggested before a Christian posts anything on social media, they should ask, how will this affect my ability to share Christ with someone? How will this affect my ability to share Christ with someone? I said this 2 years ago when everybody decided to vilify Bill Gates as being the worst person in the world, that he was trying to poison all of us and all that kind of stuff, and it was Christians saying all this stuff about him, and I thought, wouldn't it be something if someday one of us had an opportunity to talk to Bill Gates and to say, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, and he says, do you remember in 2020 when everybody says I was of the devil and that everybody hated me and they were praying that me and my wife and children would all burn up in a fire somewhere? Yeah, I don't have anything to say to you, so thank you very much for stopping by. Come on. I know you're not shouting. I know you're voting on me tonight, so I just thought I'd get this all said this morning. Come on, what effect does it have? We put it out there, and there are people reading that, right? That are going, well, then I can't ever talk to that guy. I sure won't ever approach them. Those homophobic jokes that you tell on the job, and the guy sitting over there who's struggling, or the person over there whose kids are struggling, and they say, well, I know one thing, I won't ever talk to that guy about whether I need Jesus or not. I'm just being real honest, folks. What you say affects people. What you post online affects people. And that stuff doesn't go away. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? 16 years ago, you said this, and here it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. How does he speak? We're supposed to live in such a way that our lives testify of Jesus and point others to Jesus, that we reflect his nature and his character in everything we say and do. I'm probably not going to preach this same sermon in the next service, so you're getting all this morning. In this series, we've talked about looking to and listening to Jesus. In John 10, Jesus said, we're his sheep and he's the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep know my voice and they won't recognize or respond to a stranger's voice. So then my question is, then how do we hear him? And perhaps the question we need to ask first is, how does he speak? And then through what means or methods does he speak to us? How do we, if preachers are telling you all the time, just listen because God's speaking to you, well, how do you know that? When we look at the scripture, we see that God spoke through angels and prophets and through creation, and he speaks through circumstances and opportunities. He speaks through visions and dreams. He speaks through gifts of the Spirit and preachers and teachers. And let me put a pause right there and go back to all that little stuff I was saying before. What I'm not saying that you shouldn't speak truth about things, all right? I'm not saying that you should be silent because, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm saying there's a way to speak truth without demonizing everybody that you're speaking truth about. There's a way of saying things without attacking people. You don't have to bully people. You don't have to call people names. You don't have to make everybody an enemy in order to speak truth to people. Doesn't it amaze you a little bit that Jesus got invited to all the parties where everybody was drunk and doing all kinds of stuff, and yet he showed up? He ate with tax collectors and gluttons and wine bibbers and all the things they accused him of, because he had a way of speaking truth to people. He never compromised. He spoke the truth, but he didn't do it with rage and anger and hatred. He did it in a way that drew people to himself. I got to stop talking about that because I got a whole sermon to preach you. So he spoke through angels and prophets and creation and circumstances and opportunities, visions and dreams, gifts of the Spirit. Of course, the Bible says the ultimate way, Jesus is the ultimate way that God speaks to us. Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, and the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the ultimate way that God speaks in this world and speaks to us. But again, I get it. Jesus speaks to us, but how? What methods does he use? How do we hear if Jesus is speaking, if he's the way the Father speaks to us? Well, ultimately, we can say that God speaks by his Holy Spirit. He does. So Jesus said in John 14, all this I've spoken while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to us what Jesus wants us to know and bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus has already taught us. So he's making this commitment to communicate with us by means of the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit's going to teach us and guide us and remind us of everything Jesus has said. He brings Jesus' words to light in the dark places and dark times of our life. Jesus even said that if we were brought to trial for our faith, he says, don't worry about it. Just say whatever's given you at that time, because it won't be you speaking, it'll be the Holy Spirit, because he'll tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit's going to communicate to you what you need to know. We know God speaks by the Holy Spirit and can speak to us and through us, but again, how? How do we hear him? How do we hear his voice and know? At times, I think the Holy Spirit speaks to us by what we might just call promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's when people say, I don't know, I just kind of felt I was to do this. I felt led to do this is the way we often say it. I just felt like I needed to tell you this, or something told me I needed to stop by today. I just felt in my heart I needed to give you a call and just to give you a word of encouragement. What do you think that is? Intuition? No, that's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus, he has access to be able to tap us on the shoulder or in our heart or brain or wherever to say, give that person a call. That guy standing over there needs somebody to walk over and just talk to him and give him a word of encouragement. Most of us, I think all of us, have had that kind of prompting. And you might not ever say, well, Jesus spoke to me, but you could say you felt led to do something. It's one of the ways he speaks to us, but we have to be tuned in. We have to be listening. And I think most of us have said, boy, I kind of felt like I was supposed to go over there, but I was just a little too antsy or whatever. Well, that's okay. You know, if we're staying open to it, the Lord will tell you, he'll give you another shot at that, you know? But that prompting of the Holy Spirit, be responsive to that and learn to do it. And there may be some times they go, well, I missed that one. That wasn't the Lord at all, was it? But just trust him and continue to do it. Remember that prompting is going to be consistent with the nature of Jesus revealed in the scripture. And then another way he speaks, obviously, is through his written word, the Bible. It's why we're to read and study the Word of God. What does it say? And what does it mean for us? And how do we apply God's Word to our daily lives and to our world? The psalmist said it was a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And if we hide God's Word in our heart, it'll keep us from sinning against God. It'll keep us from stumbling in the dark. And consider this. This is the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. So John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is the living Word of God. On the road to Emmaus, on the very day of Jesus' resurrection, he's walking with these disciples. They somehow couldn't recognize him. And the Bible says, and then beginning with the law and the prophets, through the scriptures then, meaning the Old Testament, Jesus explained to them how all of those scriptures then were pointing to him and testifying of him and speaking of him. So it only makes sense that the scripture, the written word of God, bears witness and reveals the living word of God. So as he speaks through his written word, it too is going to be consistent with the living word of God. It's going to be consistent with the character and nature of Jesus. So the written word of God is not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to the nature of Jesus, the living word of God. The witness of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, in the Holy Spirit, the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will always testify of me and point to me and bring glory to me. That's what the Spirit's going to do. So the Holy Spirit is going to take the written word of God and help us make application of that word to our lives so that we too will then live and act and speak in ways that point others to Jesus and that testify of him and bring glory and honor to him. And another way that he speaks is through his church, through the faithful witness of the past 2,000 years. So you know, I believe he speaks through the creeds and the councils of the church in addition to the written word of God, the wisdom of all those that have come before. And there's danger in teachers and so-called prophets and churches that espouse doctrines that are contrary to the collective and consistent teaching of the church for the past 2,000 years. And it's a level of arrogance that kind of goes, well, they missed it for the first 2,000 years, but we've got the revelation now, don't we? Step back, you know. Keep your eye and then step back slowly. Methods change and methodology changes, but the truth of God's word stands firm. Paul tells Timothy, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, sound doctrine, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. And again, Paul's referring to that deposit of the faith, of the Christian faith, of the doctrine of the church. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Guard against voices that are not accountable to the church. Listen to sound teaching. Listen to sound doctrine that's found in God's word and is consistent with the body of truth delivered to us as the Christian faith. Are there differences about doctrinal issues and positions? Absolutely there are, between denominations and all that. But there's unity in the essentials of the faith. And read the Apostles' Creed. We quote it every once in a while. Or read the Nicene Creed. Those are the essentials that Christians believe. That's the essential part of our faith. He still speaks through his church. And not just through the church as the universal church or whatever. But he speaks through the members of his church. It's why it's important that we gather together. And you that are watching us online, God bless you or whatever. But we need each other. And so whether that's some way that you communicate with us or whatever. But we need the members members of the church. We need to be encouraged by one another. He still speaks through the members of his body. We're still going to be encouraged through fellowship and talking with one another and spending time with one another. We're encouraged through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's important that we do that. So if you haven't been going to Sunday school, as soon as I finish preaching, 10 o'clock today, I'm going to finish before that, but at 10 o'clock today, there'll be a Sunday school class for you. And so go to Sunday school and interact with other believers and meet people and fellowship, because it's one of the ways that he speaks to us is through the members of the body of Christ. So how do we listen? How do we hear? We have to tune our hearts, our spiritual ears, to Jesus, to his presence, and to the Holy Spirit. And so quiet your heart and your surroundings. Most of us, we've always got something going on. We've got our phone in our hand, or we've got music playing. Silence creeps a lot of us out. We just don't ever get silent. And the Lord's waiting some time for us to just quiet our heart and quiet our spirit and then to listen. Quiet your surroundings. Talk to Jesus and then listen. Just pray. No kidding. It's like, well, that seems kind of mystical to me. It's okay. Just pray. Talk to him. Worship the Lord. Spend some time and then just say, Lord, I'm going to sit here for a minute and I'm just going to listen. Well, am I going to hear a voice? No, maybe you'll hear that prompting. You know what I need to do? Those of us that our minds working all the time, we're going to think of 13 different things. Well, I need to clean out that closet while I'm sitting here. But Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? Well, I need to get the oil changed. And I need to, okay, is there anything you want to say? So you'll still have to clear some of that out of there. But in the midst of that, there may be that word about, you know what, you need to call Dave Hensley and pray for him and give him a word of encouragement. If the Lord says that, put that at the top of your list before you clean out that closet or whatever. It's that prompting of the Holy Spirit about something. So we quiet our hearts. Read the scripture. You that are reading the Bible with us, read the scripture and then stop and listen again. Lord, I read your word. Is there something you want me to hear? Something you want me to see in this? Something I need to know? Something I need to be aware of for today? Speak, Lord, because I'm listening. I'm trying to pay attention to what you're saying. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Peter walking on water to Jesus, and Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And then when he did, he started looking at the wind and the waves or whatever, and suddenly he's sinking because he was looking at the wrong thing. Fear, it brought him to a place where he was sinking. Last Sunday, we talked about King Jehoshaphat. Looked out at a vast army coming against him, and he could have been so distracted that he couldn't or wouldn't see the Lord or hear the instruction the Lord gave. But instead, remember last week, the king set himself to seek the Lord. They fasted and prayed, but he set us out some time. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we begin the season of, no, it's a week from Wednesday. We begin the season of Lent. A lot of people are going to fast something. That's a good way for you to just step back from everything, quiet yourself for a period of time through that. But we're going to set our face intentionally to look to and listen to the Lord. The king said, we're powerless against this army. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It was when he focused on the Lord, and it was then that he heard the Lord speak through one of the men in the crowd. And so many things can blind us and deafen us to Jesus and make it difficult to see and difficult to hear. And we have to find a way to clear the distractions, to quiet the noise, and set our heart to listen. Tune out the worry and the fear, and tune into heaven's peace and purpose, because he's still speaking. So let me share one other little thought here and then we're done. And I was reading here a few weeks ago, and the Lord just kind of pointed something to me, and I'm not preaching this as doctrine or anything this morning, but it's just something that's been in my, it's been rolling around in my head. In Exodus 19, Moses and the children of Israel are at Mount Sinai in the wilderness. And God speaks to Moses and tells him to tell the people, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. So God was going to do something that kind of set Moses apart. You're the guy that I'm going to talk to, but I'm going to let everybody else hear something. So, you know, I mean, that's what he says. They'll hear me speaking with you and always put their trust in. So the Lord says, so prepare the people. And so Moses comes back and says, here's the thing. God's going to speak to us. He's going to show up on the mountain. And so everybody, you need to prepare your hearts. And so he gives them instruction. And the Bible says, on the morning of the third day after God had given this command, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. It kept getting louder, and everyone in the camp trembled, it says. And as the Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus 20, the Bible says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear, and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. They were frightened by what they heard and what they distinguished as God's voice, but what they heard was thunder and a trumpet. And I know this is crazy a little bit, but I just kept thinking, what is it about God's voice that sounds like thunder? I mean, he has a really deep voice, I assume. I don't know, right? When God speaks, doesn't he sound like James Earl Jones or somebody? He has a Morgan Freeman, maybe, but he has a... If the Lord showed up and said, I'd like to talk to you for just a while, we'd... Although in 1 Kings, Elijah, when the Lord, it wasn't in the earthquake and it wasn't in the fire, or the storm, it was, or the wind, it was a still small voice. He may speak to us in unusual ways. But what is it about God's voice that sounds like thunder or sounds like a trumpet? And Moses could hear him and understand him, but the people were just frightened as they heard thunder. And what struck me was that perhaps at times that's what we all hear. I'm desperate for a word from God, and when I listen, it just seems like I'm hearing thunder. Just a noise, just a rumble somewhere. Lord, I'm listening, but I'm uncertain of what I hear. In John chapter 12, Jesus is in the last week before his crucifixion. And he says, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, and God spoke, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. And others said that an angel had spoken to him. Some said it thundered. And Jesus then goes on to say, this voice was for your benefit, but not mine. This voice, Jesus heard it, and some must have heard it, but everybody else said, boy, it just sounded like thunder to me, and yet Jesus said, it's a voice. Sometimes his voice must sound like thunder, but we keep listening in faith. We keep looking to Jesus when we can't, when all we hear is thunder. We're just going to keep listening and looking. And John, again, this time in the Revelation, speaks of the voices of the seven thunders speaking. What does that mean? The voices of seven thunders speaking, something about thunder and voices in Scripture. And then we finally get to Revelation 14, and John says, I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. And remember in Revelation 1, when Jesus spoke to John, he said, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And now in chapter 14, he hears the sound of rushing waters again, and he hears the sound of thunder. But he wasn't hearing voices or words, but he kept listening. He couldn't distinguish it, but he kept listening. He tuned his spiritual ear by faith, and as he listened, the strangest thing happened. The sound of thunder began to change. Look it up in Revelation 14. I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. And the sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. What? We live in Oklahoma and we have thunderstorms all the time, right? And I've never stood out there and listened to a roar and a roll of thunder and thought, huh, harp music. You know? Never. Even tornadoes. I didn't hear harp music. Sounded like a freight train. It's a big roar, I'll tell you that. But I didn't hear harps. If I had, well, that would have really been alarming in a tornado. I'm coming, Elizabeth. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. How did the sound go from thunder to harp music? Well, I don't know, but it had something to do with the fact that he kept listening. And maybe it wasn't the sound changing as much as it was his ear beginning to discern more than just noise or volume. Let me ask you, have you ever gone to another country or been around people that speak with an accent and you can't understand it first, but over time your ear adjusts? First couple of times going to England or Ireland or somewhere, and the first day it's like, oh, boy, I hate to keep saying, what was that? I've told you before about asking a British policeman for directions to the British Museum, and he told me like four times. I actually finally recorded it on a micro recorder I had in my pocket because I hated to keep saying, are we speaking the same language? I went back out and I'm replaying it. I think he said turn left. I'm not sure. But within a couple of days, my ear had kind of adjusted to the way it all sounded. Guess what? The sound, their accent didn't change. They still spoke the same, but my ear and my understanding and therefore my comprehension had changed. And John kept listening, and though the thunder he heard through that, somehow something else was there, and he heard the harp. And then he writes this, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who'd been redeemed from the earth. It's all right there, from thunder to harp music to lyrics and voices singing a new song, a song that the martyrs sang. And I know it speaks of the 144,000, but perhaps that number is just symbolic of all those who choose to take up their cross and die and follow Jesus. And verse 4 says of them, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They're the ones who are willing to surrender all, to lay down their lives for Jesus and to die to their self. And perhaps the key to listening and the key to hearing Jesus is simply found in surrender. Lord, I'm listening and I'm saying yes to you regardless whatever you're saying. My answer is going to be yes. And when we say yes to him and we continue to say yes to him and surrender to him, the thunder begins to sound like harpists playing harps. And then finally we begin to hear the lyrics and we learn a new song, and it's a song of praise and surrender. Surrender, a song only the redeemed and the obedient and the fully surrendered can sing. And I've got to wrap all this rambling up. But in 1982, battling with depression and deep despair, I can tell you that most days everything sounded like frightening thunder to me. I used to tell people the depression was like living inside a plastic bag. It dulled everything, what I could see and what I could hear. And some days it was out here, but I always knew it was there. And some days it was up here, and I was suffocating to get through the day, but I couldn't get out of that. And everything sounded like thunder. But I prayed, and I kept praying, but so consumed with fear or worry or whatever it was, all I could hear was thunder. Where are you, Lord, and why aren't you responding, and why aren't you speaking to me? And discouraged and burdened and anguished and in the storm, but I kept looking and listening because I knew he was there. And 3 years of darkness with occasional glimpses of light, and 3 years of roar and thunder, but with occasional faint sounds of something other than thunder, I kept looking and listening until finally, one day, the thunder sounded like harpists playing their harps. And through it all, I kept learning to surrender myself and my life and my children and family, my goals and plans and desires, talents and gifts, ambitions and dreams. I can still remember driving on 51st Street and crying and almost thought I'd have to pull off the side of the road. And I said, Lord, I don't know what else to give you. I'll give you everything. I'll give you a towel. I'll give you my ability to sing or play the piano. I'll give you my hearing so I can't hear the music so important. I'll give you everything, Lord. There's nothing I'll withhold from you. I'll give you Sarah and Rebecca. I'll give you everything, Lord. Is there anything left that I can give you, Lord? And through all of that, he wasn't demanding. It was just me learning how to trust and surrender. I don't believe God withheld anything from me. In fact, he was teaching me and I was learning, but I still couldn't hear the way I wanted to hear. And maybe it was like the Israelites, that fear kept me from hearing him, and all I could hear was thunder, but his voice was somewhere hidden in the thunder. And understand, every challenge we face gives us opportunity to learn and to grow and to surrender, and it gives us an opportunity to listen again and to look again. And some of you today may be saying, but all I hear is thunder. Good, at least you hear the thunder. That's where we start. Keep listening and keep turning your heart toward Jesus and tuning your ear to the Holy Spirit, because he's speaking. And that's why Jesus says, he that who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You'll have to choose to listen. And now that you know there's something beneath or behind the thunder, don't ignore it when you hear the thunder. Listen. And then one day your eyes are open, your ears are opened and tuned to heaven's accent and sound, and someday you'll say, I hear it. Harp music. Wait, I don't just hear harps. I hear voices. I hear singing. I hear the lyrics to a song that's so beautiful. And the Holy Spirit will teach you the words, the lyrics, and you'll sing the song of surrender and worship and obedience. You'll bow before him, and your heart and your voice will be full of the sound and the words and the song of heaven. Don't stop listening and looking. Don't give up through your storm, through the darkness, through the fear. Keep looking and listening to Jesus. It may just sound like thunder today, but God's speaking, and the sound is about to change. So Jesus, in our fear and in our trouble and in our doubts and even in the storm, I pray today you'll let us hear behind the thunder, you'll let us hear the music begin to play. For somebody, Lord, that just feels so desperate today. They're in anguish, they're grieving, their heart's burdened. They've been praying and they haven't heard a word. They hear other voices, but they don't hear yours. It's all just muddled and confused. It just sounds like thunder off in the distance. But today, would you clear our hearts, and as we still our hearts and quiet our hearts and tune to you, Lord, let us hear the harp music. Let us sense and hear something else, Lord. Help us to distinguish your word to us today, because you've got a word for people. You've got a word of hope and encouragement. For those in despair, Lord, you've got a word of hope. For those who are grieving loss, Lord, you've got a word that there's still living to be done. There's still purpose for them and for their life. For folks that are worried about their family, their children, they're worried about their future, about their job, their position, about their finances or what's next, Lord, whatever the worry and fear is. And it just sounds like thunder everywhere. But today, Lord, we're going to listen again and look again. And with our hope in Jesus and with our eyes fixed on you, Lord, I believe there'll be that moment when we begin to hear the music underneath the thunder. And suddenly, Lord, the lyrics begin to form, and in surrender we offer ourselves to you. And I believe, Lord, there's hope and there's peace for us today. For somebody, boy, your chest hurts. It just feels so bad. You know, it's not a heart attack. It just feels so heavy. You're bearing some kind of burden that's so heavy. Can you hear the Lord speak words of peace to you today? Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Trust him today. Trust him today. Or somebody, a family member, called this week and told you to be praying. There was something they were so concerned about, a diagnosis, and you've been so concerned, but this morning the Holy Spirit gives you peace in the midst of it. In the thunder, you hear the heart playing, and you know there's a place of surrender. God's about to teach your family member something and show them his strength and his power. Others will turn to Jesus in the midst of it, and you can rest in that today. God's faithful and he's good. And he's going to continue to speak through his Spirit and through his Word and through the living Word and through the Holy Spirit and through the church and through your life. You'll hear him speak. And so, Lord, we're going to purpose in our heart to listen to you and to trust you. Let's stand together this morning if we could. Give him a moment. What's he saying to you today? Can you hear him? Is it thunder, or is it harp music, or is it lyrics? Whichever, it's God speaking. It's God talking to you. It's God saying, I've got something for you, and I'm going to show you. Just trust me. Keep walking. Well, I've been trusting him for 10 years, and he's brought you to this place. Thank the Lord. He's brought you to this place. And he's going to continue to take you next step and next step and next step till you stand in his presence someday. It's all part of the process. It's not so much about getting to the end. We're going to get there. But it's all about the song today. It's all about being faithful today. It's all about Jesus today. So, Lord, looking to you, we rest in you today. We trust in you today. And Lord, if you want to prompt us, if you want to speak to us, if you direct our steps, we're saying yes to you. Whatever you ask, whatever you point us to, Lord, we say yes to you. We want to walk in obedience. And we receive from you, Lord, your good grace, your favor, your blessing. Let it be upon us today. In Jesus' name. So, the blessing of the Lord rest upon his people. And he is not silent, but he speaks through so many ways. Open your heart and open your ears to be receptive to the word of the Lord. He still speaks through his word. He still speaks through circumstances and opportunities that he sets before you, open doors and a path that's cleared so that you can walk in obedience and you can walk in faithfulness. And all along the way, he'll speak. There'll be messages. There'll be direction. There'll be purpose shown to you. So don't be afraid. Don't despair, but trust in the Lord. Keep looking and listening, for the Lord will guide and guard his people as they put their trust in him. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that by the gift of the Holy Spirit, by tongues and interpretation, Lord, you give just encouragement to our hearts to keep trusting and resting in you. Your mercy is available to us. And Lord, we'll look for ways, for signs, for direction, for just those things you drop in our heart where you say to us, yeah, this is the right way. Keep walking. Keep following Jesus. Keep searching and seeking him. You'll make the difference in our lives. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. Keep listening. The Lord's got something good for us. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Stay for Sunday school.